And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Mary Peltola returned to Juneau last week to make her first address to state lawmakers since becoming the only Alaska Native person elected to the U.S. House. Peltola is a moderate Democrat. Bipartisanship is her motto, and this speech was on brand. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Representative for the great state of Alaska, the Honorable Mary Sadler Peltola.
Peltola says her new colleagues in Congress sometimes ask her about the Alaska model. She was happy to learn they were referring to the state legislature's long experience with bipartisan coalition leadership.
I think people ask me about this Alaska model because they realize that business as usual in D.C. isn't working anymore. Slowly and surely, the partisan rancor from recent years is losing its appeal. People are remembering that politics, first and foremost, should be about fixing things and not just launching cable news careers or racking up retweets.
Peltola's predecessor, the late Congressman Don Young, always declined the invitation to address the legislature. Peltola was largely unknown in the state when she filed to run for his seat last year. For her, the speech was an opportunity to shape the image she wants to convey statewide as the newest member of the state's congressional delegation. She kept it to 16 minutes, much shorter than the U.S. senators usually run, and devoted a lot of that time to the value of working across the aisle. She passed along wisdom she said she learned from former Alaska House Speaker Ben Grusendorf when he was negotiating the final finance package of the year.
There were people who wanted, you know, revenge, you know, these end of session deals. And he said, no, everybody has to save face. And I think that's a real valuable lesson that was it really stuck with me as a legislator.
Peltola represented Bethel in the State House for a decade, starting in 1999. She helped revive the Bush Caucus, a block of legislators that pressed for the needs of rural Alaska. Peltola is also credited with establishing Cuspuck Fridays. Legislators and staff in the state capitol still wear cuspucks, cotton hooded jackets with front pockets, to mark the end of the work week and give a nod to the Native people of Western Alaska, where cuspucks originate. After her speech, Peltola told reporters she'd rather be remembered in Juneau for more significant deeds, but she said she's come to appreciate that Cuspuck Fridays have helped change the culture of the capital and made rural residents feel welcome.
I've heard stories of people who were scared and terrified to be here and then felt a lot more comfortable when they saw that everyone had their cuspuck on. So I'm thrilled that the tradition continues and to have been a part of it.
Peltola's speech this year comes between those of the senators. Dan Sullivan spoke last week. Lisa Murkowski's will be on February 22. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
A new study shows that twice as many pregnant women or recently pregnant women in Alaska died in 2021 as compared to recent years. The Alaska Beacon reports that the new data gives a more detailed view of maternal mortality at a time when Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed increasing Medicaid coverage for new mothers. The Alaska Maternal Child Death Review, which produced the study, believes that many of these deaths may be preventable. Preventable deaths occur for various reasons, notably access to health care. Pregnancy-related deaths increased most in rural areas of Alaska, where some residents seeking care were unable to access it. Factors like interpersonal violence, mental health problems, substance abuse, and lack of health care contributed to the increased maternal mortality in Alaskans. Of those who died in 2021, over half had a history of interpersonal violence. While the overall mortality rate has more than doubled, experts say that the number might not be telling the whole story. Many of the deaths recorded may be linked to the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, small numbers make it difficult to draw conclusions. Alaska is not the only state to see an increase in maternal deaths. The rest of the nation also saw an increase in pregnancy-associated deaths from 2018 to 2020. Some of the recommendations made by the Alaska Maternal Child Death Review include advocating for more programs to screen potential victims of interpersonal violence. One expert also mentioned the importance of local care workers such as doulas and community birth workers, who may be able to offer more culturally responsible care to help lower the rate of maternal deaths. A series of broken rules and an environment of sloppy oversight led to a Humvee crash last year that killed a young woman from Eagle River. That's according to facts laid out in an Air Force accident investigation report released recently. It's the first public detailed account from the military about what was happening on its Idaho base leading up to the death of 19-year-old Air Force ROTC Mackenzie Wilson on June 24th. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports.
Wilson was one of 19 cadets chosen for a four-day ROTC event at Idaho's Mountain Home Air Force Base last summer. On the last day of the event, the report says the untrained cadets were given unsupervised access to drive old Humvees. Humvees that were intended only for use as targets at Sailor Creek Bombing Range. At one point, Wilson and two other cadets took turns behind the wheel of a Humvee doing donuts. Wilson was killed minutes later when the Humvee she was riding in flipped on an unnamed gravel road. Idaho is prosecuting the cadet who was behind the wheel for manslaughter, but after months of Wilson's mother pleading for answers, it's still unclear if the military will take any disciplinary action against its own personnel or make any changes to its base operations. Wilson's mother, Jessica Swan, says she is profoundly devastated and that Air Force leadership was acutely negligent. Air Force officials say they are committed to apply lessons from the investigation to prevent future mishaps. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Wrangell's Borough Assembly has joined the chorus of Southeast communities condemning a lawsuit by a Seattle-based environmental organization that threatens to shut down the Southeast king salmon troll fishery. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Wrangell's Assembly unanimously voted to speak out against a lawsuit targeting Southeast Alaska's king salmon troll fishery at a special meeting on February 17th. During an initial discussion on Valentine's Day, Assemblymember Ryan Howe said he finds the suit baffling.
Because I listen to this. I got a finger on the pulse of like, what is a healthy fishery? What is an environmentally sustainable fishery? And Alaska fisheries are well managed, and they're from other organizations like the environmental organizations. If you want to put a point on it, they like will recognize the Alaska fisheries as being well managed, sustainable fisheries that take care of fish and communities. So this is baffling and just crazy to me.
The lawsuit filed by Seattle-based Wildfish Conservancy alleges that the National Marine Fisheries Service doesn't give enough weight to the impact of Alaska's king salmon harvests when it comes to an endangered population of orcas known as southern residents, which live around Puget Sound. The lawsuit leaves the future of the Southeast king salmon troll fishery in the hands of a federal judge in Washington state. Assemblymember Bob Dalrymple says a potential shutdown could have a big impact on Wrangell.
I'm very concerned about this, and I totally believe it affects the well-being of the community. It has a direct effect, could have a direct effect on us.
Brett Stilwaugh is the Wrangell board member of the Alaska Trawlers Association. He testified to the assembly that he thinks the suit could be a slippery slope.
I believe if the trawlers are shut down by this lawsuit, it'll pave the way to shut down all commercial and sport salmon fishing in Southeast Alaska. As a basis for this suit is a NOAA National Marine Fisheries flawed biop, an incidental take permit, the same biop used to justify the sport, troll, seine, and gillnet fisheries in Southeast Alaska.
Stilwaugh says he believes the suit is also misdirected. There's some conflict over whether the orca's food source, king salmon, is really the issue at all. Plus, the troll fishery isn't the largest consumer of kings.
Our small boat artisan fishery, 1,000 miles away, is catching an average of 400 Puget Sound kings a year, denying the southern resident killer whales those fish. Meanwhile, the Washington State sport fishery catches 84,000 Puget Sound kings in the Straits of Juan de Fuca every year.
The statewide Trawlers Association is not named in the lawsuit, but is actively fighting it. As a board member, Stilwaugh requested a donation of $7,500 from Wrangell's Assembly to help with the fishing organization's legal costs. Many other Southeast communities, including Port Alexander, Pelican, Sitka, Petersburg, and Ketchikan, have donated or are in the process of approving donations. But Assemblymember Dalrymple said he didn't know how Wrangell's money could help.
You know, this is a lawsuit against National Marine Fisheries Service, so it's already fully funded, if you will, by quite qualified folks to deal with that Department of Justice. So I'm not sure what our funding would go to, or what Alaska Troller Association would use that for. My impression is they're probably getting ready for an appeal, And maybe that's another time to get back a little more specific on funding needs for that.
Some other assembly members expressed support for adding a donation to the Trollers group, but ultimately Rangel's assembly passed a resolution without a financial contribution to the cause. In Rangel, I'm Sage Smiley.
It's 35 and cloudy in downtown Juneau. Things will clear up tonight, giving way to sunny skies tomorrow with highs in the mid-20s. The urban avalanche forecast for today is set to considerable.